This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Travis Hunter, very confident. We know that. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Taking a step further, though, Pearl, in an interview with CBS Sports, where he was asked if a team said you could only play on one side of the ball, offense or defense, what would your decision be? And he said it would be to quit football. You're not keeping him off the field. He wants to play. We're asking you today, is that a me-first move or a team-first move? How do you interpret when a guy's saying, I want it my way, I want to do this the way I've been doing it since college?
Yeah, I know you think it's a me first move, but I kind of like the brashness and the confidence, and I'd like to see it in context too. I mean, Travis Hunter, I would not consider he's not a malcontent. To me, he's just been kind of positive throughout his college career. Let's face it, Colorado wasn't great, and he sort of kept them fun, even more than Shador, because he was so intriguing as a two-way player. I think he's got to be a two-way player, and I'd rather hear it now than 2 weeks after he got drafted. That is my defense of him. Say it now. Like, get that message out there. Don't draft me if you don't want me on both sides, because he knows he's not falling further than five.
Sure.
So why not just get that message out there now? I really want to play both ways. Let's do this.
See, it comes off to me as a me-first move. And here's why. Not because I think that Travis Hunter is this, like, incredibly selfish athlete or something like that. It comes across as me-first because you haven't played a snap yet in the NFL. If you get to the NFL and you look like you can handle this, you are good on both sides of the ball, you're, like, the only person in history who doesn't need a warm-up or an adjustment period or whatever, and you show that you are, in fact, that dude, then do whatever you want. But I think you need to have you have to have shown that you can do it on the NFL level.
Well, how are you going to show you do it unless the team lets you play both ways?
Well, I'm saying you have to show that you can master one side of the ball, or that you can handle a part-time, you know, say he's a full-time corner and part-time wide receiver. Let's try to get through a season healthy. Let's try to get through a season, you know, without this welcome to the NFL moment. There's plenty of guys who come into the league and we think they're just going to walk right into greatness. And you know what? The first season can be a little dicey. He's not going to be going to a great team.
I think he's smart. It probably doesn't matter. I'm sure the teams have already decided on him. But I think there is some smarts to saying up front, you better play me both ways or I'm going to be miserable. Like, would you rather, if you're a team, know that now? He's obviously not afraid. He had no fear of someone not drafting him for that.
Sure. I guess, is the better answer, though, whatever the team needs?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Only for quarterbacks. They're the only ones who would say it's always whatever the team needs.
But no, I mean, quarterbacks should be this times 50.
They have to be humble.
No. They have to go where they think their skills are suited. Like, quarterbacks should not go to the wrong place. Like, honestly, if you're a quarterback, you have to, and you are confident and you're still going to go in the first round, I would steer towards a better team. I'd probably avoid Cleveland. I've been pro-Cleveland. I'd definitely avoid the Giants. If I was Caleb Williams last year, I would have played hardball, and
well,
I would have avoided
the
Bears.
But okay, so where should he have gone, though? Because a lot of times,
Caleb should have gone to Washington with Cliff Kingsbury, as it turns out.
Well, it turns out, but maybe they wanted Jaden Daniels the whole time.
Well, yeah, but Chicago, we knew, you know, it was a narrative. will Caleb Williams be afraid of Chicago? Turns out he should have been, because the management structure was bad. The team around him was bad. They didn't have the right plan for him. And Eberflus got fired 8 games in.
I know, but his career's not over. He's got Ben Johnson. Like, that's what I'm, this is what I'm saying about Shador. Travis Hunter. It's not that I don't think he can have a long, productive career. I think to come into the league when you have not taken a preseason snap yet and to say, I demand to play both sides of the ball, to me looks tone deaf.
But realistically, though, don't you think he has to say this? Because wouldn't it be terrible if he went to a team and they used him on one side and he was saying something? That's really anti-team. You got to say it now.
I think he'll say it now and then. I think he'll say whatever. Like, and again, that's putting your role above the team's role. And I get it. You know, you can try to manipulate where you get traded to.
Yeah.
But the problem is that let's say you go to what's an air quotes a good situation, and then all of a sudden there's injuries, or a coach gets fired, or the coach quit. You know, it's never going to be exactly perfect. And so to me, to come in and say, I'm calling my shot here on how I want this to go, you don't know yet. 888-710-4ISN. So you're welcome to weigh in. You can vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl. Is this a me first move or a team first move for Travis Hunter to say, I would quit playing football if I can't play both sides?
One thing I do think he knows. I think he absolutely knows.
What's that?
I think he knows he's playing both ways.
Mm. Well, I mean, the Browns, who have the second pick, who have been linked to him, Andrew Berry has come out and said, you know, yes, he can play both sides of the ball, but I mean, I don't know if it's going to be full-time, like 40 snaps on both sides.
Right, but he's met with all these teams. If he's going to say it to some dude at CBS, he's definitely saying it to the team. So I think he's been assured. And the other thing, too, the teams are at the top of the draft, by definition, are losing teams. They could use, except for New England, who happens to be stacked at cornerback for some reason, they could all use help on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, is I remember Deion. It was weird when he was out there, because you're like, oh, man, is that defense about to score on us? I tell you right now, Travis Hunter is going to be a danger on defense. He could probably float around at safety a little bit and just like feel the play and get picks, and then he's off to the races. I think he's really interesting. He reminds me so much of Deion.
Yeah.
Then Deion would line up at punt returner, couple snaps on offense. Deion was a huge weapon on defense, and I think Travis Hunter is I'm positive he is the closest thing to Deion since Deion.
Yeah, listen, I mean, you start going from corner to safety, things as you move in, it starts getting a lot more physical. I don't know if that's necessarily an awesome idea.
But if you watch, and actually, I don't know if him, but it felt like Deion used to float around a little bit. He used to kind of watch the quarterback. And I don't think, you know, he was a Revis would shut down the receiver. I just think that Deion would be eyeing the quarterback a lot and trying to make a play. I think Travis Hunter wants to go out there and make a play desperately.
No, I know, but they all do. And it's like,
But nobody's done what he has done. There's no one even close to achieving in college what he did. Not even close.
I get it. I do. But again, we've had a lot of guys who thought they were going to be slam dunks. I said, mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr., last hour. And we even had someone who called up and said, in fantasy football, Marvin Harrison Jr. was like going top five for people. And you know what? It took an adjustment because he didn't go to a very good team. And the same thing is going to happen with Travis.
Yeah, I mean, I think Marvin Harrison's a great example. He didn't get enough targets because the offense wasn't good. And Kyler Murray has to run back about 80 yards to see the field because he's only 5'9". I have a lot of issues with Arizona. Then they hand the ball off to James Conner all the time. Marvin Harrison should have came out and said, don't draft me if you're not going to give me 8 targets a game. Like Malik Nabers. Like Malik Nabers also lost, but he was happy because they threw him 14 times a game. So I think it's a good example. I don't know. He had a lot of catches. These are wide receivers. Really, their only concern is how many catches they have.
Team won 3 games. I mean, if you're happy about that, then there's something wrong with you.
No, you're called a wide receiver. That's what you are. I think there is no position in football that is more me first, so it kind of makes sense. Again, I'm not scared of Travis Hunter because of this. Your concerns about injury, legit.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. But attitude-wise, I want him to be out there on every play.
Again, you can go to Maggie and Pearl on X and you can vote. Travis Hunter said he would quit football if an NFL team told him he could not play both ways. Is that a me first or a team first move? Go ahead and go vote. It is Wednesday, which means it's time for the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay, Pearl, you know how we do things around here, obviously. And the Great Debate is something that is loosely based off of the news of the week. Sometimes. This week, we saw one of the great sports triumphs. Rory McIlroy finally winning the career slam after choking it away on 18, rebounds in the playoff, and goes and breaks his major drought and is now in golf immortality. So we're asking you today, what is the greatest sports triumph? Now, there's a lot of ways this could go. Again, loosely based on the news. I don't know if any of us are picking Rory this time around, but greatest sports triumphs. Why don't you get us started?
So I kind of had a two-person debate here. I thought we almost should have taken this person out of it because it's such a huge triumph. It's historic. It's Jesse Owens at the 1936 Olympics.
After the fanfares of the Olympic opening comes the most amazing performance by America's black streak Jesse Owens in the 100 meters. The world's most superb runner makes the others look as if they're walking as he wins the final and equals the world's record time. This and his later victory in the long jump may well be the athletic performances of the century.
So, to prepare for our great debate today, we decided the topic. I rewatched the movie Race about Jesse Owens last night, 2016. I got to tell you, I got emotional. It was intense and heartbreaking. Rory McIlroy beat Justin Rose in a playoff hole. Jesse Owens set every record in front of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Not same. This, the pressure
in
he
Germany.
Had. The pressure he had in the 1936 Olympics with what was going on in the world is unimaginable. This was the greatest achievement, arguably, in sports. Yesterday was Jackie Robinson Day. That's the other person I thought about. But actually, if you're looking at one triumph, what Jesse Owens did in Germany, with everything that was going on around it, and the fact that he was so good and so dominant in the sport, to me, is the greatest triumph. By the way, interesting fact, I was wondering, why didn't he play football at Ohio State? Team was not integrated, and that's why their track and field team was so good, because their football coach wouldn't let black players play on the football team. So I was thinking, wow, you know, he could have been a legacy of great Ohio State wide receivers, like, as well. Can you imagine that guy?
He didn't do enough, but basically showing up Hitler.
But it was an actual topic. Why did he get steered toward track and field? Because it was a different time in America. 93rd faced racism here all the time.
Yep.
Incredible, incredible story.
It's a great one.
Yeah, top that, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Hello.
I was going to say, I should have ended with Pearl Love. I don't know.
You should have gone to me first. Good luck.
Kind of a mic drop on that one. Well, that's the great debate, everybody. It's either Jesse Owens or Jackie Robinson.
I know. Sorry.
It's been a fun show. Thank you, Andrew Kaplan.
I'll fade this music out now.
And we will go to breakfast. Okay, so obviously,
oh, actually, you might be able to top.
So, no, because I saw yours and I was like, I was kind of... You got me thinking about political things and world events. Mm-hmm. Not that Jackie Robinson wasn't important for the world. He was. But obviously baseball was being played right here. And I started thinking about on the world stage with, you know, tension in the world. Not World War II. I was thinking about the Cold War, which brought me to 1980 Miracle on Ice.
McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game.
It's over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable.
Al Michaels, legendary. Do you believe in miracles?
What is that?
Gave me. Man, Al doing that and then having to do a Thursday night like Jags-Titans game. Just
here
is
we
not...
go.
Color rush game. Wow.
No, listen. I mean, it was, we all know it.
Yeah.
1980, USA hockey team made up of college kids and amateurs going up against a Soviet team that was heavily favored, that had won 5 of the last 6 Olympic gold medals, including 4 in a row. They were pros. This was the semifinal. Michael Ruzioni with the go-ahead goal, 4-3. And they're all remembered as champions and heroes. It was devastating, obviously, for the Soviets, but because it was the height of the Cold War, mm-hmm. and there was so much tension, it meant so much more for the Americans. And obviously, they go on to beat Finland in the final. They win the gold medal, and we're talking about the greatest sports triumphs. I don't know if Jesse Owens was an underdog. I don't know if they were setting lines back then. But the USA team being such an underdog and the backdrop of the politics of it all, I decided to go with the Miracle on Ice.
That's a good one. Now I feel bad for everybody after the two of us. We went Jesse Owens, Miracle on Ice. Good luck. I mean, once again, Rory McIlroy breaking an 11-year drought. Sorry, Rory.
He's just the slight inspiration for the topic. Okay, we're asking the greatest sports triumph. EJ's got a great one. I did not think of this. EJ, go ahead.
Sorry, I was trying my mic, right?
Yeah.
So I'm actually wearing a shirt
that represents my pick.
YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet.
Yeah, so if you're watching on Twitch or YouTube. So I'm going with Magic Johnson 1992 All-Star Game, where Magic Johnson earlier in the year had to announce his retirement because he had contracted HIV, which was a very scary time where HIV kind of became a real epidemic in the country, and a lot of people were dying very quickly, and there was a lot of uncertainty about what it meant to have HIV. And Magic Johnson, when he made that announcement, a lot of people, it broke a lot of people's hearts. So Magic Johnson was still voted to the All-Star game, and he decided to come out for one last game, and he put on quite a show.
6-5 3-pointer.
Maybe you'll see me back, maybe you won't, but I'll remember all these good times this afternoon. I'd like to thank you for sharing this with me. Thank you.
So Magic Johnson wins All-Star Game MVP, a very signature moment where he has these late game moments where he's guarding Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas, who of course big stars. He stops them, and at the end, he hits a step back three over Isaiah Thomas. The crowd goes crazy. 25 points, 9 assists. But even beyond that, just the symbolism of seeing a young man healthy out there playing basketball with his peers without the crazy health risk people thought was real at that time. So I think this is a very important moment for HIV advocacy. So I'm going with Magic Johnson's All-Star Game appearance and MVP performance in 1992 in Orlando.
Yeah, we're talking about the greatest sports triumphs, and that's a great one. I mean, people wouldn't hug Magic, wouldn't shake his hand. Yeah. I mean, that was, we knew so little about HIV then, and now look at Magic. I mean, healthy, a billionaire. And obviously one of the greatest players ever. Okay, Manny, the greatest sports triumph of all time is what?
Heavy, heavy topics to start it off, guys.
Yeah.
Mine has absolutely nothing to do with a heavy topic.
Okay, lighten it up for us.
Leicester City back in 2015-2016. Well, the year before that, they had finished 14th in the Premier League. The year before that, they got their promotion to the Premier League. In 2015-2016, preseason, plus 500,000. The Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns this morning, I just checked this before the segment started, plus 20,000. Plus 500,000, and little old Leicester City won the Premier League.
Leicester are champions. Leicester City are champions of the Premier League. The greatest story ever told has its happy ending. For Claudio Ranieri and his players, an unhappy ending.
Leicester are champions. Leicester are champions. No matter how many times you say it, it doesn't sound real. Leicester champions, the party underway, the singing has started.
And what breaks my heart for the Foxes and their fans, some of the best players like Ben Chilwell, Danny Drinkwater, N'Golo Kanté, Riyad Mahrez, they all ended up getting poached by some of the bigger teams in Europe. So this team has unfortunately broken up. Really, Jamie Vardy, the only contributor from that season, is still on that team.
Even Drinkwater?
Danny Drinkwater is gone. Can you believe that? Danny Drinkwater is gone. Leicester City. Plus 500,000. I got them. I think it's just bananas what they did. Oh, and they're about to get demoted back to the second division in Europe, in England. So, I mean, yeah, this is what Leicester did was just, it's incomprehensible.
You brought up like the Browns. This is like at their lowest, like the Browns, the Lions, the Jets all winning the Super Bowl in the same year somehow. Like that's how improbable it was.
Right. And the same three teams win every year. So that's a crazy thing.
Yeah,
I mean, how much is those other teams spend compared to Leicester City?
Exactly. It's a rotation of City and United and well, not United over the past decade, but City and all these other big old top six teams.
Liverpool,
Leicester City won it all.
Okay, Bogus, finish off the category here. The great debate today, the greatest sports triumphs of all time. Did you go with Jesse Owens, too?
I didn't. It is an honor to go last after anti-Semitism, communism, major health concerns, and I guess imperialism with Manny's English soccer mention. But none of your picks, guys, ended one of the most painful title droughts of our lifetimes. Mm. USA men's basketball went one entire Olympic Games without a gold medal. So they circled the wagons and gave us the Redeem Team.
On a penetration, kicks it back out to Bryant. Bryant puts up the three. It's good. Kobe Bryant from downtown, and the foul.
Is there anybody in the NBA who loves these moments more than Kobe Bryant?
Kobe, front and center on a team that did everything possible to reclaim gold, including sacrificing Pau Gasol to build team chemistry. Rightfully so, the Redeem Team of 2007 and 8 going into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame this year.
The Redeem Team, greatest sports triumph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stick with that.
I think Kobe's 81 was probably a bigger drive against the Raptors.
60 in his last game of his career.
No, listen, this is Bogus's pick, guys. Got to respect it. Greatest sports triumph of all time. Perloff doesn't even recognize the Redeem Team as a thing.
Yeah, that's sort of the genesis of this.
Got it. I'm the last to know.
No, Bogus threw it out as a total joke, and nobody was laughing except for me.
Yeah.
And because it was just a test of EJ's unbelievable dedication to the fact that he thinks the Redeem Team's a thing. So it was a test. Does EJ actually think Bogus is serious at all?
Well, listen, you weren't there, clearly, when the USA was humbled to a bronze medal.
I mean, the only
losing
thing
to the likes of Puerto Rico and also Argentina.
The only thing that really works about the Redeem Team is the cool rhyme.
Right.
If they were called just the comeback team, then there's no way Bogus would pick them.
No.
It's
not a thing.
So
once again, you guys claimed all the good ones. So I'm sitting there going, I just said Redeem Team is a joke, waiting for a laugh. I didn't get that. I get a side text from Perloff going, why is no one laughing? You're not being serious, right? Like,
ask. Like, you're kidding, right?
Of course I'm kidding.
Why did you just say that in the regular text? Are you kidding? I just thought it was a terrible pick. You see some of Manny's picks? I don't know. You guys do
I'm not Manny.
Do weird stuff all the time.
No, Lester City. I remember that. That was
a good pick. I'm saying other Manny picks. Or Pete Bilotti. I mean, come on.
Damn.
How many Bret Harts did we got?
Of respect for me right now is stunning. I'm just wide receiver diva, man.
This is an homage to your original bad Redeem Team.
What was the bad take about the Redeem Team?
That you think it matters at all.
What are you talking about?
That you have a take.
I mean,
they just had a documentary. What are you talking about?
See, this is where, remember Perloff like an hour ago was like, Kevin Johnson and everybody clowns me just because I brought up an old guy. This is where you clown EJ about being young. See, you guys give each other, and forth.
It's not about being young. It's about having awful takes.
What is my take on the Redeem Team?
That it matters at all. I would say Jesse Owens is the top of Mount Everest on triumphs.
But
the Redeem Team is below the Mariana Trench.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying the fact that you took it seriously enough to not know it was a joke.
You got
no one else is an exposure.
Manny, did you say anything? Maggie, did you say anything? No one else.
Don't keep me out of this one.
How is this an EJ thing? That makes no sense.
I knew it was
because you have a Redeem Team tattoo. You are a Mr. Redeem Team. To you, it's the greatest moment in our
ever. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's why it went over my head. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I knew it was a joke, but I was like, all right, let's do it. okay, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We are asking you today, loosely based off of Rory McIlroy completing the career slam and a career champion. What am I trying to say? Slam.
Redeem Team.
He redeemed himself, breaking his majors drought, and we're asking for the greatest sports triumphs of all time. You can take that whatever way you want, whether it's an individual player, like EJ said, Magic Johnson, at the All-Star game after being diagnosed with HIV, whether it's Perloff saying Jesse Owens. We had Jackie Robinson Day yesterday. I said Miracle on Ice. Manny went with a 500,000-to-1 shot in Leicester City. And, of course, Bogus with the absolutely on-point, completely real.
Yeah, thank you in advance for your votes on the poll. Really excited to win that.
I feel bad. Maggie, I feel like you and I have a big edge in this poll. It's just we did take the
Magic
two.
Magic is pretty big. That was a huge triumph.
I don't even think it's the biggest All-Star moment.
Magic Johnson and HIV.
Ooh. That was such a huge moment.
I think when AI crossed over MJ, that was bad.
Now you're taking it too far.
No. I think Jesse Owens and Miracle on Ice are a bit more iconic.
Oh, I don't know. 888.
What? Oh, no, my God. You guys are all out of your mind.
But you can't poo-poo what was going on with Magic. That was he was like the first celebrity who we knew was HIV positive. It was such a huge thing. We never thought he'd play again.
Yeah, I don't think it belongs in the same conversation with Jesse Owens. Just Just me.
888-710-4ISN.
Like millions of people across the world have HIV and were inspired by Magic Johnson to get on the basketball court. But, oh, screw me.
888-710-4476. So we're asking, the greatest sports triumph, what do you got for us? We get back to some NFL draft news in just a moment. Don't move.
Welcome back. Maggie Perloff Show. Great debate. Greatest sports triumph of all time. Kind of off of Rory McIlroy finally winning at the Masters, breaking an 11-year drought. I went with Jesse Owens, Maggie.
I went with the Miracle on Ice. EJ.
Magic.
Magic Johnson playing again after he was diagnosed with HIV. Manny.
Leicester City winning in 15 and 16.
They were a 500,000-to-1 shot, and Bogish.
I abstained. I didn't actually submit a real nomination this week.
Bogish went with the Redeem Team, finally getting USA Basketball back on track. After.
Bogish, you should call an audible.
I went with sarcasm.
You should pick a real one.
Go with Redeem Team. I did think of Kerry Strug this morning, because I walked in knowing I had to find a real thing, and then Manny was like, we already have Redeem Team sound for you. I'm like, oh, everyone really did think I was being serious.
It's a deep cut of the show about where does the Redeem Team, where's their place in history?
Yeah, the Andrew and Andrew show loved it. I don't know if the the overall audience appreciated it.
I just think, too, I said, Jesse Owens, a Miracle on Ice. Those are giants. Those are tough to beat.
Yeah,
they are. I mean, you know, this is why this is a great topic, because it's whatever it means to you. 888-710-4ISN.
Right, England in the mid-2010s. Whew, that was a crazy time in England.
Manny, yeah, you wouldn't have known the Magic unless you were there. Mike is in Seattle. Mike, what's the greatest sports triumph of all time?
Those are all great that you said, but the Buster Douglas knocking out Mike Tyson, that was unreal.
Greatest upset of all. If not, I mean, I had Miracle on Ice, which is also considered one of the great upsets, but Buster Douglas.
Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
I forgot exactly what the odds were, but a 42-1, that's famously. He was 42-1 underdog and knocked out Mike Tyson, who was at the peak of his powers.
Well, I wonder about that too. Great upsets, like Villanova beating Georgetown. You could go with any. A lot of upsets are triumphs too.
Absolutely. JT is in Eugene. JT, what's the greatest sports triumph of all time?
I got to go with Dirk Nowitzki and his championship run in 2010-2011. It was absolutely insane what he went through to win it all. He had that Blazers team with LaMarcus Aldridge and Brandon Roy. He swept the OKC Thunder, which had Durant in his prime, Harden in his almost his prime, and Russell Westbrook. He swept the defending championship Lakers, and then, of course, you know, getting through LeBron and the Heatles. That's got to be one of the biggest triumphs in sports.
JT, it's a good one. I mean, thank you for the call. And Dirk's run there and beating who he beat in the finals, and also how much does his legacy change off of getting that title?
Yeah, because they probably should have beaten the Heat the first time they played, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how
that was pre-LeBron. Yeah.
How did they beat LeBron in Miami that year? It's amazing because that team was all time that they beat.
It was Dirk on a heater. Remember they were making fun of Dirk because he was like had a cold, and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James were like pretending to cough. I was there when they clinched that in Miami game 5. Robert is in Texas. Robert, you have won for LeBron here. What is it?
Hey, so when LeBron was down 3-1 to the 73-9 Warriors, that's the most unbelievable triumph ever. Come back from 3-1 after Curry and the Warriors had beat Oklahoma City down 3-1. Mm-hmm. Come back and to solidify their greatness, and LeBron snatched it right from them, down 3-1, come back and defeat them. The greatest triumph.
It's a fantastic one. Robert, thank you for that. It's when LeBron himself now claim that he's the greatest of all time after that. You're dubious of this. This is huge for Cleveland, of all places.
I'm just thinking, is this the greatest comeback in a series ever? I would say the Red Sox down 0-3 is a bigger triumph, although it's not
my damn respect to.
I think they're both.
This was close.
They're both right there. I mean, the Red Sox broke that big curse. You know, Cleveland, this was a title for, you know, a city that had just been so down and out, not associated with winning at all.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we've seen a lot of teams come back from 3-1. The Celtics done it before, so it's good. But I don't know if greatest. Yeah, maybe I'm.
I don't know. 73 win Warriors.
Yeah. It's up there.
I think he can make a case. Shane is in Boise. Shane, what do you have the greatest sports triumph of all time?
Hey, guys. Now, I recognize this doesn't have the prestige and the nostalgia of a redeemed team. But
but little does.
You know, I got to say, my Boise State Broncos taking down the giant that was the Oklahoma Sooners in the 07 Fiesta Bowl. That game literally launched a brand of a little teeny tiny G5 school in Boise, Idaho, which most people, you know, mistake Idaho for Iowa 9 out of 10 times, literally launched a brand, a school, a program, and its football field into national prominence that still is as strong as it's ever been some almost 20 years later.
Wow. Has it been 20 years? Don't tell me it's been 20 years.
2007.
It's been 18.
Oh, my
not
God.
Quite, but we're
wow.
creeping up on that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Shane, it was awesome. I mean, and all the memorable plays from that game specifically. So it's not just the upset, but it's the trick plays and then also the proposal. I mean, so much. And Ashton Gentry from Boise State is probably going to be a top 10 pick.
Yeah, I mean, Ashton Gentry.
They're in the college football playoff this year.
Could have, in a normal year, would have been the Heisman, too. Yeah, and the field. I agree. I mean, that's another great upset triumph, Ram. Villanova, Georgetown. To me, Villanova, Georgetown, maybe because I'm from Philly, but this is in that milieu for sure.
No doubt. Last one, we'll get to Bogus's update. Scott is in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The greatest sports triumph. Scott, what do you have?
I have the breaking the 108-year World Series drought with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. It is amazing. And you know what's so crazy, Scott? Not just it's the curse of the Billy Goat and all the lore that came right along with it and Bartman and putting all those demons to bed, but that actual Game 7, that is an all-time game between the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians. Guardians now. And you have to think, like, you know, that was totally trending Cleveland's way. And then you get the weather delay, right?
Yep.
And the Cubs came back and won. It was like it literally felt like a higher power intervened there for the Cubs.
Don't you think history forgets how close that game was, too? I mean, the Cubs easily could have not broken the curse.
That was an all-timer. All right, keep them coming. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The greatest sports triumph. Andrew Bogus is here with, I'm sure, what will be a triumph of an update for us.
Guys, their late-season coaching change didn't keep them out of the play-in, nor did it get the Grizzlies out of that play-in just yet.
It'll be Aldama to trigger the inbounds. Grizzlies looking to set screens across the floor from Aldama. Here's Morant breaking to the ball. Aldama's got to get it in.
Five-second call. No.
That play took way too long. That's the ball game, folks. 5.4 seconds left.
That's Grizzlies radio. Memphis losing on the Warriors' floor last night, 121-116, doomed by that late mistake and 75 combined points from Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. The Grizz will host the winner of tonight's Mavs-Kings game in a do-or-die contest on Friday night. The Warriors get the 7 seed and a first-round date with the Rockets. The Magic headed for Boston in round one in the East, but only after flirting with disaster last night against the Hawks.
Here's Cole to the elbow. Can he get that? He got it. Cole Anthony, ice cold tonight. 21 points. The lead is 16.
That's Magic Radio. Orlando led by 22 late second quarter, but let the Hawks get as close as 3 in the third before pulling away for good. Cole Anthony, 26 off the bench in what was a 120-95 victory. Trae Young ejected for back-to-back techs with 5 minutes to go. His team has the Bulls or Heat on Friday for the 8 seed.
Don't you know I'm Trae Young?
A reminder that some have called Alex Bregman the Drew Holiday of the Red Sox.
Here's the pitch. It is high in the air into right center field. Meisner back at the track at the wall. Leaps. He cannot get it. It is gone. Bregman does it again. It is a 2-home-run game, and the Red Sox lead it 7-2.
That is Red Sox Radio. Alex Bregman, 5-for-5, 2 homers, 4 RBI, and Boston's 7-4 win in Tampa. The Dodgers beat the Rockies last night 6-2, dropping Colorado to 3-14. Ugh. The Brewers snapped the 3-game skid, 3-0 over Detroit. The Mariners' 4-game win streak ending 8-4 in Cincinnati. And the Twins held off the Mets 6-3, but lost shortstop Carlos Correa during a fifth inning at bat to left wrist pain. Correa likely headed for an MRI.
Oh, no, that's a hammy bone.
Is that worse than losing your contact lenses, both of them coming out of your eye sockets because the backswing of your bat hit your helmet?
Well, I would think that the lenses were fixed pretty quickly. The wrist is a long-term issue for him, so that might not be fixed as fast.
Yeah, maybe it's a little apples to oranges. I just still can't believe this happened to Jason Dominguez of the Yankees. I don't know if you're going to bring this up, but I don't wear contact lenses. I don't wear contact lenses. You do, Bogish. EJ does.
I do not.
You don't wear contacts?
No.
So right now you just have no glasses on? You're just freewheeling it?
Dude just cannot see. Yeah. Just can't read his script.
My glasses are for distance, so I don't need them for my computer here.
Got it. Pearl, do you ever wear contacts?
No, I don't have contacts, but I got to tell you, sometimes, because I think I'm nearsighted, when I take my glasses off, I can see better far away. Mm. So I think what Bogus is doing, I relate to.
Well, but I have the reverse of you.
Oh, okay.
Like, well, you look fine. Maggie,
you look nothing,
the,
right?
No, 2020 right here.
2020 for now.
Yeah. The best thing about me.
I was good until about 41, and it was like downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It changes.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, 2020 for now, Mag. You are going to be, there's going to be a moment in the next 5 years where you're going to be like, wait, what?
See, yeah. I was bummed because I can't hear anything. So I was like, well, at least my eyesight is still good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. All right.
I heard it.
But anyway, Jason Dominguez hit himself with a bat his own bat by accident and knocked his contact lenses out of his eyes.
Turned out to be the game-winning 3-run double. Thank you, Jason.
Real quick, I heard a lot of tech entrepreneurs get LASIK because they're afraid when the apocalypse comes that there's going to be no glass makers. And as their eyes worsen, you're going to need LASIK because there's no other way to correct your eyes after the doomsday.
Wait, they're getting preventative LASIK or they have vision issues?
They're tech nerds. They all have glasses. Okay. So, but they think once everything falls apart, that's what one of the first things is going to go. People aren't going to be able to get new glass subscriptions. Mm. So they get LASIK and it's fixed and you never have to worry about that. And they get motorcycles so they don't get caught in the traffic on the way out of town.
It's funny.
Never heard of this?
The motivation is simply the apocalypse. It's not, hey, I don't want to wear glasses anymore.
No, these glasses are cool. Everybody likes wearing glasses. But if you can't update your prescription every few years.
Because the zombies are walking around the apocalypse. Or just, yeah, it's a nuclear holocaust.
Think about it. Resources are running out. We can't get fresh water. But Lens Crafters is open.
Can I get them in an hour? Yeah.
So I think that there's a reason.
Warby,
and that guy,
Parker,
by the way,
still going strong.
That guy who hit his contacts out, like, you're a baseball player. Get LASIK, right? Wouldn't that help you? I think you wouldn't want to mess around.
That's what I think it is. I think they're worried. What if the surgery goes wrong and all of a sudden I can't pick up the threads on the baseball?
Didn't Jameis get eye surgery to rectify some eyesight problems?
Yeah.
Still throwing picks. Like, there's no tomorrow.
I also don't know. Does LASIK work for every eye issue? Like, is it all-encompassing? Or can you not maybe be like, can it not be helpful for you?
Because I have the eye of a tiger.
Thank God it helped Jameis.
I have no idea. I'm terrified. They open your eyeball and put a laser in there? No, I'm good.
Yeah, and I don't want contacts. I don't want to touch my eyeball.
So if doomsday come and the apocalypse happens, you see me wandering the wrong direction. It's because I can't see anything.
You'll find like some old guy at the glasses shop, the last survivor.
The horse is prepared for battle.
Are you also, did you teach yourself how to ride a motorcycle if you're preparing?
No, no.
You have a bicycle,
I'm out.
I know that.
I'm going down on the first wave.
I think that's better.
Yeah.
You're like foraging around for food and gas and trying to deal with, I don't know what, winter.
Do you guys have a 2-week water supply?
Yeah, it's in my backyard. It's in my backyard. Let me
get a hose.
I'll be right back.
I'm gonna dig a hole.
I have a moat.
Who of us would survive a nuclear poll?
We've done this poll before, and I'm always the first one out.
Which is funny, because you're the one who thinks about it the most.
I think about it the most, and I have no skills. None at all. And I watch a lot of shows about this.
And you have no bunker.
Nothing.
Provisions.
Where are you going to put a bunker in Brooklyn?
That's a him problem.
I live right next to the Brooklyn Bridge, probably one of the biggest targets in the world.
Mm, yeah.
No, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah. I was in this mental jail this weekend watching Castaway randomly, thinking like all these things that Tom Hanks did.
Yeah.
And I have no chance.
None.
Building ladders, figuring out how to write.
You became an expert fisherman?
Yeah. I'd be done. If I saw a second Wednesday, I'd be happy.
Little thing about that movie, if he doesn't get lucky and ice skates are in one of those packages, he's a dead man.
True.
Oh, because he can cut the coconuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about this very thing so many times.
You have ice skates?
No, I'm obsessed with how I think about how I would have handled Castaway all the time.
How do you think you'd handle it?
I think I would have tried to jump off the highest point 3 days in. Wait, by the way, Maggie, you're right behind me. Like, I don't think you could last.
You just asked me if I have a 2-week water supply. And I looked at you like you had 3 heads.
I mean, I don't know which one of us. I mean, EJ is a city kid. Manny.
Can I tell you the one I think of?
Yeah,
I Manny also, also a city kid. The one thing I think about is I would have been terrible like on the frontier. I think about that sometimes, like when we're doing covered wagons and discovering America that stuff.
Oh my God.
I hate cold water. I would not have wanted to bathe in a river.
No.
But you wouldn't have known better. Like, don't forget, you wouldn't have gone, oh, I miss a hot shower.
I need a hot tub.
I got water.
Yeah.
If I can't floss and brush my teeth, the right times of day,
Maggie Perloff would pull into the van and be like, so what's the bathroom situation here in Tombstone?
I can't go in just any bathroom. Not Manny.
Yeah, what's the shit
here? Looking for public bathroom.
I'll get distracted by the bathroom.
I would have been terrible on the frontier.
Yeah,
it's like, bake us some bread, woman. I'd be like, what?
Would be going the middle of a field. Is the rest area coming up soon? What's going on here?
Where's the Lombardi pit stop?
Yeah. Oh man, I know I would have been bad. 888-710-4ISN. Anyway, the real question we're asking you: what is the greatest sports triumph? Loosely based off of Roy McIlroy winning the Masters on Sunday, but we want your picks. Greatest sports triumph. Let us know.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. On Wednesdays, we do this thing called The Great Debate, loosely based on the news of the week. Today, we're looking back at Rory McIlroy winning the Masters and asking you, what is the greatest sports triumph of all time? Now, I don't think Rory would crack any of our top tens, but it was a triumph for him.
Yeah, it was already Tiger in 2019 crack a top 10.
Or 97. You know, it depends which Tiger. Like, do you want the, you know, him winning the Masters, the first black man to win the Masters? Do you want his comeback and at the end of his career to win the Masters? Both are triumphs. Both could count.
Yeah, I think the 19 one was so unlikely. And he'd been through so much. In the vein of Rory, that one was like Rory. I mean, there are other golf triumphs too. Huge underdogs. I don't have them off the top of my head. Oh, Nicklaus in 86. That gets a lot of play.
No doubt. Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Wilson in California. Wilson, who you got?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I think, Maggie, you stole my thunder.
What's that?
I thought it was the Miracle on Ice was a no-brainer for me. And the second one, I think Perloff hit it, you know, the 36 Olympics, Jesse Owens' triumphs over, you know, the Nazis and Hitler. But I was just thinking of an event that that was very significant. And of course, you know, like the Masters, it has to encompass a worldwide audience. You know, I mean, we have our triumphs here in this country, but I'm talking about in front of hundreds of millions. And I remember at the 2008 Beijing Olympics where Michael Phelps got 8 gold medals and eclipsed Mark Spitz's swimming record from the 72 Olympics. And that one kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, 23 gold medals, 28 overall. And, you know, Phelps went through so many ups and downs. Like, I think he, you know, he had a couple of DUIs and stuff, but, you know, his mental health journey, quit the sport, came back. And he's kind of, thank you for the call, Wilson. Appreciate that. He's kind of a guy, Pearl. It's a little like LeBron in a sense, and this is what I'm going to say. he had all the hype in the world. It was like, you are going to be the next great thing. And he not just lived up to it, he exceeded it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, he's in Mount Rushmore of Olympic athletes. My only argument is the number of gold medals, I always feels a bit inflated.
Because he has relays?
Well, like Usain Bolt didn't have the opportunity to win 8 gold medals.
Right.
I just think some of the events were quite similar. So I always feel like 28 gold medals is like, compared to, say, Usain Bolt, who is right there. I think the two of them are, or Carl Lewis, for example, couldn't quite get that many. So that's my only, people kill me when I say that.
Yeah, like LeBron James can only win 1 gold medal Olympic cycle, is
right,
what you're
right,
saying.
Right. Phelps had a lot of opportunities. He's obviously the GOAT of that sport. Obvious. And, you know, I think Simone Biles is right there, too, of Olympic achievements. Yeah, I think maybe her comeback, too, is pretty cool. I think there's Olympics are tough. There's a lot. I mean, does Phelps really stand out above Jesse Owens, Bruce Jenner, Carl Lewis? There's a lot. That's where
John Carlos and Tommy Smith.
Yeah, where triumphs are born out of the Olympics all the time.
Quickly, Jim's in South Carolina. Jim, we got about 10 seconds for you, pal. What do you got for us?
Yeah, that's okay. 1996, Kerry Scruggs on that Olympic vault on a bad ankle.
Yeah, yep. Kerry Scruggs, thank you for that call. That was an unbelievable vault. I mean, needed it because it was part of the team competition. So it's like gymnastics kind of individual, but they got the team all around, whatever. And this was everything. So she's limping. She completes the vault into the hands of Bella Caroli.
Oh, iconic moment. That had a moment. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. She was the darling of America. I'm curious. It's funny. We don't talk about her as much anymore. Feel like that one, it's got a little bit lost in the dustbin of history, a little bit, or yeah, is she, you just like say her name.
I feel like NBC dusted off every Summer Olympics. I feel like I see a stroke highlight. The problem is that the Carolis got very controversial.
Okay.
So I think they got disgraced a little bit because of some things that were happening in the USA Gymnastics. But Strug, those are just the coaches. Strug, she stands out.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, who's the face of gymnastics now? There's no doubt.
Yeah, Simone.
Simone kind of blew everybody out of the water.
No doubt. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So keep them coming. The greatest sports triumphs of all time. We'll also get into, one quarterback really putting it out there. Is he right? We'll tell you.